You are now listening to the Redeemed Cast. I am Markeith McDaniels, and I am here to inspire you with a winning mindset. And this episode is how to fulfill God's promises. It's going to be in the text of Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 to 5, which reads, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up. Everyone will needs to go straight in." All right, so in this text, we recognize a few things. And when I read this text, I can't help but to remember the generation before them that suffered in the wilderness and missed out on this awesome miracle and the fulfillment of what God has promised to give them through the covenant that he made with Abraham. And I also remember, and I'm reminded of that promise first given to Abraham, the patriarch and the great ancestor. Hallelujah. So notice in the text it says "see," right? I went on ahead and I highlighted that word "see," because in order for us to receive the fullness, right, of the promises of God, we must first be able to see, which will take faith, right? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So in order to see, we're seeing through the eyes of faith. We're seeing things line up on our behalf, lining up with the word of God, and lining up and everything coming to full alignment and connecting in our favor, right? As you can see, it says, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands," right? He only seen just a people who were locked in at the moment. You know, it wasn't necessarily given to them just yet. They still had to go and take it. But in this passage, it says, "See, I have already delivered them into them." See, the people, they didn't want to fight. He said, along with the king and its fighting men, they wasn't trying to put up a fight. But even then, at that point, right, even though they were able to see that, and even though it was, everything was lining up and it looked like everything was going to go right, God still had a specific way for them to fulfill this destiny of theirs. You notice how it told them to, you know, march around the city for 6 days and do something that has something to do with the number 7, you know, which has its own prophetic insight through the numbers, right? The numerology of God, right? There's a number 7, which means perfection and completion. Notice how it says 7 3 times. You know, in the Hebrew law back then, you do something 3 times, if something is repeated 3 times, and it is established. Amen. And the number 7 also means perfection and completion, right? So 777, meaning that it is established, and it is established to perfection. Hallelujah. So this right here is the way to establish the promises of God, right? With perfection. Thank you, Jesus. So, as you can see, it says to do this for 6 days, have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns. So that right there would be 7 people and 7 ram's horns. It's 2 7 so far. And then on the 7th day, it says march around the city 7 times. That's 3 7s in this passage of scripture. Once again, that means and it is established because it's 3 times, hallelujah, and the number 7 means perfection. So that is established perfection. That is, established perfection is basically following the ways of God and following the plans of God on how to fulfill the promise. So let's keep on reading. And in this, what we find is that the key and the way is to let God control the process and the outcome. Now, we know the full story. We know how the Israelites were set free from the bondages of Pharaoh in Egypt, and they went into the wilderness, and you know that story and how they went about things. They didn't go about the right way. They did not allow God full control of the process and the outcome. So with Joshua having complete trust in the word of God, that he will be with him wherever he went, and that the command was for him to be strong and courageous, and to have faith in the promises and blessings of Abraham, right? And the promises and the blessings throughout all the generations before him that was passed on to him, right? Living by this level of faith produced an increasing confidence in Joshua. And this same confidence is what produced results. There was no laboring. There was no struggling. There was no fighting to be able to receive this fulfillment. This was a promise of God. There's no need to contend for something that God promised that he was going to give. See, Joshua's obedience prepared the way for God's divine intervention and the miraculous. See, a whole nation got to see God do something marvelous and wonderful. They received salvation on the next level. You see, the generation prior to them received salvation on the base level, on the first level. When it came to them leaving Egypt, you see, they still were in the wilderness phase of things. They needed to go into the next level of salvation, which was entering in the promised land. Amen. So I want to go ahead and share with you a few thoughts here and a few points that's going to help and drive this thing home and give you a couple keys on how to follow in a similar mindset in order to receive God's promises. You see, and number one would be, as we can see in the text, we see something's very, very key, and that is shifting the atmosphere. You know, how do we shift the atmosphere in order to see change, in order to see God move? Usually we shift the atmosphere through praise and worship. Now, with the praises, you know, it's the fruit of our lips that we produce with life and death in our tongues. Amen. We were speaking life, we're producing life, we're giving praises, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in this day with our praises unto God. We're allowing God to enter in, right? And have his way. You know the old saying goes, the praises go up and the blessings go down. Amen. Hallelujah. That old, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. And another one is worship. You know, worship as we abiding in the truth. They that worship, right, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And also in our worship, worship is something a whole lot more than just singing a song. You know, worship is more than just a gesture that we do with our body, the lifting up our hands. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is I'm going to follow Jesus. Worship is I'm going to follow God in his ways. Worship is I'm going to learn everything there is to know about this great and mighty being, and with whatever laws or whatever commands he gives me, because I love him, because I believe him, and my faith is going to produce obedience. That is worship. Worship is obedience. Worship is an allegiance. Worship is a commitment. Worship is so much more than just singing a song. So that is the first key point here, and being able to get the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. That's shifting the atmosphere. And number two is seeking God first, right? As the Bible tells us, seek the kingdom of God, right? We must seek the kingdom of God. Put the kingdom of God first. Put the purposes and the plans of God first, beyond our own, beyond our desires, beyond anything it is that we think is right, right? There is the presence of God that advances the works of God with this method, right? It's all about the kingdom of God. If it's not cultivating the presence of God, to take a step back, we need to rethink what it is we're thinking, because obviously it is producing something that is not the presence of God, which is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is peace, joy, right? And then the next step would be righteousness. Righteousness in the Holy Ghost, or righteousness in the sense of a life that pleases God through the following the ways of God. Amen. And then the next key to fulfill the promises of God, right? Number three, is acknowledgement of God and letting him control the process and the outcome, like we talked about earlier. And do not fight the process. It would only lead to contending for his promises, right? It would only lead to, just like the Israelites, when they were in the desert and in the wilderness, you know, they had to continuously fight. And, it'd be kind of like Apostle Paul in his journey. And when God had to ask him, why are you kicking against the goats? Why they can fight against God and win? So in this case, you know, we're sitting here fighting, or we're being like Jacob when he had to wrestle against the angel. That's a little bit different. He contended. He got what it is he needed. That's because God had already promised it to Abraham. You see, there's a difference there. God had promised that. And Jacob was in a good position in order to receive that. There's a difference there. And Jacob was in obedience to receive that. See, there was no need to be contending. You know, when our hearts are in the right place, and there is no need to be contending, when we have the full acknowledgement of God by letting him control the process and the outcome, we just let it go. Pretty much, the promise isn't more important than God, right? I'm going to conclude with the winning mindset of the day. And the winning mindset of the day is for us to not put the promises before God. The promises fulfilled come with the fullness of God, and they do not come the absence of God. When we put the promise ahead of him, this can lead to the delays and altered destinies, just like the generation before Joshua, with all this murmuring and complaining. This is a loser's mentality and a loser's mindset. And just like this generation before Joshua's generation, it would have you miss the fulfillment of what God promised. Their complaining kept them in the dry places of the desert, circling the same issues of life, going around the same mountain for 40 years. The winning mindset of the next generation, led by Joshua, was one of the gratitude, knowing how great is the God that was with them. See, they decided to praise, they decided to obey, they did not complain. They gave God the praise because they knew that victory is with him, because it is him, and the same for his promises, right? Everything is fulfilled within him and from abiding in him, not having fulfillment in what it is that he can give is the fulfillment itself. Hallelujah. And being content, right? That godliness with contentment is a great gain. This is the difference between 7 days versus 40 years' time. See, it only took them 7 days to receive the promises of God. And the previous generation was in the wilderness for 40 years, and they missed out on the fulfillment of what God promised. 40 years' time, but they did experience the glory of God in receiving the first level of salvation. So 40 years' time, and then when you think they know how it should be done versus those that let God control the process and the outcome. So let that kind of sink in a little bit. You know, when you are going through what it is you're going through, as the Bible says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. What are you hoping in? What is your desire? Is it desire to have God in all its fullness? Or is it your desire to only receive more stuff in life? Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing or complaining, right? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And I went on ahead and I highlighted the word without grumbling or arguing, become blameless and pure. Those are the keys right there in that passage. Without grumbling or arguing or complaining, you become blameless and pure. Hallelujah. And as it says later on, you become children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, shining like stars in the sky. See, negative attitudes and mindsets can produce the opposite of this right here. You do not become like a shining star in the sky, and you not become blameless nor pure. It can produce a dark cloud in the atmosphere and blockage of an open heaven where giving and receiving between God and man is hindered. Attitudes and mindsets are powerful in that it is contagious and it can influence our success or our failures in life. So go ahead and join me next week, next episode, not next week, but the next episode, part two, where I teach you how to maintain a winning mindset with conviction surrounded by negativity. Do not forget to tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. God bless you this day. Go empowered and go inspired. Amen.